With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
In this week's episode, I am talking about how to mitigate risks. I will give you four methods to use when you want to mitigate a risk that you're planning to take. This is a follow-on to episode 273, where we discussed real and perceived risks. If you haven't listened to that episode, I encourage you to go back and listen to that episode first. Cue the music.
Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast, brought to you by Career Pivot. This podcast is where those of us in the second half of life come together to discuss how to repurpose our careers for the 21st century. Come listen to career experts give you proven strategies, listen to people like you tell their stories on how they repurpose their careers, and finally, get your questions answered. Your host, Mark Miller, has made six career pivots over the last 30 years. He understands this is not about jumping out of the frying pan into a fire, but rather to create a plan where you make clear, actionable steps or pivots to a better future career. Are you ready to repurpose your career?
Welcome to episode 275 of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. My name is Mark Miller, and I'll be your host every Monday for discussion on what it's like to repurpose your career. In this week's episode, I'm talking about how to mitigate risks. I will give you four methods to use when you want to mitigate a risk that you're planning to take. This is a follow-on to episode 273, where I discussed real and perceived risk. If you haven't listened to that episode, I suggest you stop, and I encourage you to go back and listen to that episode first. Way back in late 2019, before the beginning of the pandemic, the What's Next Mastermind group within the Career Pivot community held three sessions around risk. The last one was, how do we mitigate risks? From that discussion, I wrote a blog post on how to mitigate risk in the second half of life. You'll find a link to this in the show notes. In this episode, I want to take you through four methods that we discussed in that session on how you can approach mitigating risks. These are tried and true methods, but something we rarely think about, how we can mitigate the risks of our actions. However, before we get to the episode, let's have a word from our sponsor, Career Pivot. The Career Pivot membership community continues to help the members who are participating in this project grow and thrive. This community, where everyone is there to help everyone else out, to figure out what they want to do in the second half of life and then make it happen. Let's hear what Vicky had to say about being part of the community.
For me, I would say it's the resources that you've made available to the community, whether it's bringing on speakers who have insights into the current hiring and job searching trends, especially during the pandemic. This has been so useful. Highlighting companies that are providing remote work for older adults. And again, this is how I was able to get my current part-time job, but also helping me to see new possibilities about what work might look like now and in the immediate future, because you know, this is so important. The traditional jobs that our generation was raised with have essentially evaporated. And so that's really what's been most helpful to me most recently.
I'm recruiting new members for the next group. If you are interested in learning more, please go to careerpivot.com/community. I'll be intermixing solo episodes like this one over the next few months, and they'll be shorter and to the point, trying something different to mix things up. Now on to how to mitigate risk. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is I had an incident on the Friday before I'm recording this. which is I'm recording this on June 15th, and this will be released the following Monday. And that was on Friday morning. I woke up real early in the morning, one-ish, two-ish, and I had a fever. I had severe chills. Went back to sleep, or at least I tried to. I got all buttoned up and curled up and tried to do my best to make sure I took care of myself. Well, about 4 a.m., I finally said, screw this, I can't sleep. Got up, made my cup of coffee. Later, I made my morning smoothie, and which I do every morning, and I decided to go back to bed. And about 7 a.m., I wake up, and I am about to vomit. Not a good thing. I decided, okay, I shouldn't say, I didn't decide, I reacted. I made a rapid move towards the bathroom. Why? I wanted to vomit into the toilet. Well, what did I do? I didn't make it. I vomited on the floor just above the staircase, just above the stairway in our house here in Mexico. And I slipped on that vomit and went down and nearly went down the stairs. And I badly bruised my back. Now, at the same time, I'm thinking as I'm laying on the stairs, I have a good friend who daughter in April was adult daughter was visiting in April, and she fell on the stairway at his house, and she severed her spine. She is now paralyzed from the waist down. And I'm going, that could have been me. Now, here's the interesting piece. I live in a house where all the floors are tile. The walls are all brick covered with concrete and they're painted. In other words, everything is really hard and everything is really durable. If I just decided to puke all over the floor, that was fine. It was easy to clean up. But instead, I had the worst muscle spasms in the next few days that I've had in the last 30 years. I did not need to make a dash for the bathroom. My mitigation for this is, well, I've got a little plastic trash can next to my bed now, which is for trash. And if it ever happens again, I'll puke in that. Or I'll just simply puke on the floor. It ain't worth hurting myself, which I severely hurt myself. Here I am 5 days later, and I'm just about now getting back to normal. I'm not there yet, but I took a risk. And it's not something I even thought about. I didn't think about, well, I might slip. Well, all the floors here are tile. They're slick. And by the way, all the surfaces are hard. If I go down, I'm going to hurt myself. Think about that. So I'm going to take you through the process that I discussed in my blog post that I mentioned earlier on how to mitigate risk in the second half of life. And there are four strategies that were played out in an article that a reliability engineering firm wrote, which I found very valuable. And those four strategies are avoidance, acceptance, reduction or control, or transference. And I've done all four of these in my career and life in some way or fashion. So let's talk. The first one, avoidance. So what do we mean by avoidance? Avoidance says, I just don't go there. I reference in the blog post, I wrote a blog post called "This Is Not What I Signed Up For" moment. We've all been there, I think, where we've taken a job and we get in there and it's not what we thought it would be. We did not do our homework. I reference back after I had my major bicycle accident back in 2002, which I discussed in the previous risk podcast, I went off and became a high school math teacher. I was suffering from MSU disorder, or make stuff up. I thought I knew what it would be like being a math teacher. I really did not do my homework. I also did not do my homework around things like health insurance. When I finally got hired by Austin Independent School District, the first thing I discovered in orientation was my health insurance for my wife, myself, and our son, who was 19, was going to be more than my COBRA payment, or my premium was going to be more than my COBRA payment. What? Well, as it turns out, after I talked to a bunch of teachers, nobody insured their spouses and children through a school district health insurance policy. The pool of employees in a school district tends to be young, female of childbearing ages, one of the most expensive groups. And they don't put money towards your spouse or your children. So it was incredibly expensive. Well, I got in to teach high school at an inner city high school, and it was not what I expected. It was incredibly rewarding, but boy, was it exhausting. I also didn't choose the right program to get prepared for it. I did it the fast way. I went through an alternative certification program. I shouldn't have done that. I did not do my homework. So when I started Career Pivot, I hired a business coach. And one thing my coach taught me was to identify the clients I wanted to work with and those who I wanted to avoid. I learned that some clients can afford to pay the fees, but their attitudes will suck the life out of me. And I needed to avoid such partnerships. Early on, I developed a method to, when I first talked to people, I would tell them I would give them 30 minutes. I'd actually give them an hour. And the first 15 minutes was determined whether they could afford me. I still would talk to them an hour if I determined they couldn't afford me. The other piece was to listen to those things that I knew I wanted to avoid and run away from it. And I had a number of folks who came to me who I went, nope, I'm going to refer you to someone else. And by the way, I started the Career Pivot community because I eventually ran into the problem of so many of the people who could afford me as a one-on-one coach, I didn't want to work with. They were a pain in the butt. And the people who I wanted to work with couldn't afford me. Learning how to identify and avoid situations that you just don't want to go there. So that was number one. The second is acceptance. This is another method to mitigate risk, to just accept there is risk, but to know that you'll closely monitor the situation. So one way of doing this is asking yourself the question, what's the worst thing that can happen? Now, I've taken this approach with hiring contractors to the level of due diligence I apply to their hiring. I usually try and start out with small projects. I do my best to figure out, are they the best candidate? We do a small project and determine, does this work? Do I like working with them? I'm going to mitigate that risk. I talked about last time Darren Rouse at ProBlogger, where he asked this question before he ran his ProBlogger conference in Melbourne, Australia. Most of his speakers were coming from the United States. And he said, what's the worst thing that can happen? Oh my gosh, bad weather could stop all my keynote speakers from coming, which means he'd have to cancel the conference. What he did was say, okay, I'm going to find backup speakers with people who are in Australia, just in case. So if you ask, what's the worst thing can happen? And the worst thing can happen isn't all that bad. Okay, maybe it's not a terrible risk. The third way is what we call reduction or control. I've written about this. I wrote a number of years ago, I was asked to to talk about in a conference about career failures or how I recovered from career failures. And what I talked about was always having a plan B from the very beginning. So what do I mean by that? That says, okay, if this doesn't work out, think about what I'm going to do instead. Now, by the way, if you're going to fail, fail fast. And I've done this several times in my career where I got into a job and went, wow, this isn't going to work. I went off and was a fundraiser for the Jewish Community Center of Austin, JCCA. And as a fundraiser, and by the way, I'm not Jewish. After 6 months, I realized this wasn't going to work. What they thought I could do was impossible. By the way, two people before me had failed. So I made the decision at 6 months, I'm just going to get out. And I waited 6 months, I planned it out, and I left. So, and the third is learn from the experience. If you're going to fail, learn from it and make sure you take the time to learn. And the last one is transference. Transference is basically finding someone else to take the risk. This may be buying an insurance policy. It may be hiring someone better than you to do a specific job. Now, use the example I used in the blog post was when we decided to drive to Ajijic, Mexico from Austin, I wasn't very confident in driving across Mexico. You know, I posted things in Facebook groups and they told us, oh, this is so easy. And then I received a number of warnings from people that even though thousands of people make this drive every month, you only need one mistake to turn this into a nightmare. So what did I do? I hired a driver. JP, who was our driver, met us in Laredo, and he got behind the wheel and drove us down. By the way, he walked us through the immigration process, acquiring our temporary import permit. I spent 2 days letting Juan drive, or JP, drive, mostly on toll roads, and learning everything I could from him. We stopped one time at a rest stop. The World Cup was going on, and Mexico was playing Sweden, and we stopped, we took a break, JP left the radio on, which meant he left the ignition on, and which, by the way, the headlights were on, and we, 30 minutes later, we get into the car, and it wouldn't start. The battery had died. I didn't know the battery was going to die. The car was, we bought it used. Oh, God. Now, what did JP do? He flagged this young man down in this beat-up old Mazda. They got the jumper cables out. They jumpered the car. And no problem, 15 minutes later, we're on our way. And I joked with JP, so does everyone carry jumper cables in Mexico? And he said, yes. So if that had been me by myself, I would have been freaked. I transferred the risk to JP. And by the way, I ended up not being stuck with a dead battery, speaking very little Spanish in the middle of nowhere, Mexico. I transferred the risk to JP to handle the situation. Are you ready to do this? I want you to look at these four methods and see how you might use them to mitigate risk. I hope you enjoyed that episode. Think about how you have used some of these methods in your life or career to mitigate risks. Think about how you might use them in the future. Take a moment, go to careerpivot.com, sign up for the weekly Career Pivot Insights newsletter, which is sent out every Sunday. You'll get a weekly update on this podcast, white papers, and new blog posts. And little bit of teaser here, I got an ageism white paper that I have finally gotten out the door. I've been working with my co-author, Susan Leahy, and I'm really pleased with what this is going to be. While there, do not forget to check out the Career Pivot community, which can be found at careerpivot.com/community. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. You'll look for Career Pivot on Facebook and LinkedIn. You'll also find me on Twitter at Career Pivot. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. You will find all the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-275. You can also subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Podbeam, Overcast, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, and lots of other places where podcasts can be found. In fact, this podcast can be found on the Repurpose Your Career podcast channel on YouTube. Hope to see you next Monday for another episode of Repurpose Your Career podcast.